And you may be seated.
Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, called his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14.
Lord, in the land.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Thank you. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he had called his name Jesus. Matthew 1:22-25.
She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2:7.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping.
This is right. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Luke 2:8-12.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Luke 2:13-15.
While by your sheep we watch at night,
the tidings brought an angel bright.
How great our joy, great our joy, 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 praise we the Lord.
child today.
Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasuries, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Matthew 2:10-11.
Wonderful joy,
sing joy.
Amen. Well, I appreciate all the diligence and all the practicing. I enjoy the practicing as well as the final production. So those songs just run through my mind. Oh, that's okay. Thanks. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. And I know you've been sitting a while, so why don't we stand for the reading of the scripture? Matthew chapter 2. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you for the day that you've given to us. We just thank you for this message, Lord, of love, the gift, the promise. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to speak to our heart. Pray you just give us direction and wisdom how to further get that gospel out. Lord, I pray there would be one here amongst us that doesn't have that confidence, that they would come to know it today. Lord, you the message. I pray that you just give the words to say. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Thank you. You may be seated. We see here the star was not enough for the wise men because they came to this point and in verse 2 said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" So the star alone was not enough. And here's the lesson for us tonight. The circumstances in life are not enough to guide us. We need the scriptures, and that's the whole point. They actually came to the wrong city to find Jesus because he was born in Bethlehem, as this passage tells us. And they ended up in the wrong city. They ended up in Jerusalem. And so why did God allow them to end up in Jerusalem? Remember, the star is what got their attention, but the star alone was not enough to get them to Bethlehem at first. The scriptures needed to be consulted. And that's the lesson for us. What must I do to be born again? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We need the scriptures. We can't just go by guesswork. So the wise men learned that. So number one, just a few thoughts tonight. They did not personally know the answer as to where the King of Jews was born. They were asking everyone else questions. In verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying," what? "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Where is he? So they're asking the question. I wonder if anyone is asking that question tonight in America. Where is Jesus? Where is the King of the Jews? Our country is in turmoil tonight over the election. You know, there's never going to be a perfect person, but there is one day someone that's going to be perfect that's going to rule. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You know, you're never going to find a perfect man. All the ladies here know that. You're never going to find a perfect man. but there is one that is perfect, isn't there? And that's Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called" what?
Wonderful.
Does that happen to be the nickname of anyone here tonight? Wonderful. Yeah, we kind of fall short of that, don't we? "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That is what we need. So why were they called wise men? I want you to think about that tonight. Why were they called wise men? Back in Matthew 2 and verse 2, they're asking the question. If someone came into town asking everyone a question, and why I say they're asking everyone, a question is because in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and what? All Jerusalem with him. So the wise men came into Jerusalem, and they were asking all over questions. Where is he that's born king of the Jews? And it got enough talk around where Herod the king hears about it, and he's wondering. And then it says there that all of Jerusalem was troubled. I wish all of Greenville were troubled about knowing the Savior. Amen. And would really at night just be unable to sleep because they were troubled that they didn't know for sure who the Savior is and where to find him. I wish that were the case. But these wise men came into town asking questions. So why were they called wise? They didn't know where to find him. They were seeking him. That was the wise thing. But they didn't know where to find him. And as I said, they came to the wrong city. Have you ever had a GPS lead you astray? I have. And I'm thinking, why is GPS so wise? It seems rather unwise. I don't know if it's changed or not, but between M57 and Stacy Road on Montcalm, on most GPSs, that doesn't even exist, that stretch of road. So to get to our house, it wouldn't lead you to Montcalm Road and north. It would take you to Youngman Road and north and then over. So GPSs aren't always too wise. But the wise men ended up in the wrong city. But as I said, it was there. And isn't it interesting that in verse 3, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he, Herod, had gathered together who? All the chief priests and scribes of the people together. Do you realize the wise men, when they came into town, didn't even know to do that? It was Herod. The wise men were asking everyone, do you know where the king of the Jews is born? When Herod hears that question, he knows where to go. Now, isn't that sad? I mean, isn't it sad that a wicked, ungodly, cruel king would know more where to find the answers than wise men? It's kind of sad, isn't it? And yet we live in a world where sometimes even people that you would think seem to be spiritual don't seem to know where to find the real answers, do they? They don't seem to look to the Word of God. They seem to look to other books, other things, other places, other people. And so Herod knows, and so he asked him, verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, I don't know. Is that what it says? No, it says what? In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is what? Written by the prophet. These priests and scribes did not even have to think about it. They were looking at Micah 5:2. And, well, that's the answer. The Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. The wise men did not know that. So they might have been wise in many things of the world, but the Scripture is not saying they were wise spiritually at that point. The wise spiritual thing was they were seeking the king. We're going to look at that in a moment. But these wise men did not know the Bible. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you know what the Bible says? Are you reading it? If you don't have a copy, we'd love to give you a free copy. But are you reading it? Are you on a schedule to read through the Bible? Let me ask you a question. If you know the Lord as your Savior, have you ever read through the Bible? Have you ever started to put something together and you've come to a standstill and said, I guess I'm going to have to look at the instructions. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Well, can you imagine God leaving instructions for us and us never in our lifetimes getting through the whole instructions once? I'd like to encourage you this year. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm just trying to encourage you. If you've never read through the Bible, why don't you do it this next year? Why don't you do it? We have some free Bible reading schedules. You may say, well, I get bogged down in the Old Testament. It's so long. Well, our Bible reading schedule takes you through a little bit in the New, a little bit in the Old, and a Psalm or Proverb every day. In about 15 minutes of time, if you can invest 15 minutes of time every day, you can be successful in reading through the Bible this year. I'd encourage you to do that. The wise men did not know the answer from the scripture. The chief priests and the scribes knew instantly. They knew where Jesus would be born. They knew where the Messiah would be born. So Herod then, in verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. The wise men might not have been as wise as Herod in the sense that he knew where to go to the people who knew the scripture. Herod knew that. He knew enough to go there to the priests and the scribes. But the wise men here were wiser than him in that they had come to worship the king. And you know what? They were prepared to act on it. Herod heard the truth from the scripture. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. But you know what Herod did not do? He did not act upon that truth. Let me ask you something from your heart tonight. Are you acting upon the truth that God has revealed to you? Number one, that Jesus is the Savior. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know what? You may know that fact, but if you don't act upon it and receive Christ, you will die and face an eternal hell. That's what will happen. So sometimes in life we know truth. You know, it's probably true of every person in the world. We know more truth than we are willing to act upon. We all could learn so much more. But an even bigger problem, probably, is that we don't do what we know we should be doing. We're not acting upon the truth we do know, that we already know. Would you allow God to speak to your heart? And would I allow God to speak to my heart tonight? Am I acting upon the truth that I do know? That's so important. So important. So in this sense, we're starting to see where the wise men were actually wiser than the people around. Oh yes, Herod knew who to get answers from, but Herod was not willing to seek the Lord when he got the answer. The wise men were. No, they did not know the scriptures as well as the chief priests and scribes. They did not. You may say, how did they even know the star was referring to the king of the Jews? How did they even know that? Well, the wise men were from the east. And if you go back in the Old Testament in Numbers 23, you'll read about a man named Balaam. He was from the east. And it was him that gave that prophecy. It was him. And so the wise men didn't know a lot about the scriptures, but they were willing to act. They saw that star in the east. And they were willing to act upon it. Are you tonight willing to act upon it? Are you seeking what it takes to enter into heaven? Are you seeking that? God will show you. We'll look at that in just a moment tonight. But as Christians, are we seeking God's will for our lives? We have one of our missionaries right now just fighting for his life. Brother Fred Wall, and he 40 years, he served the Lord in Haiti, and Praise God. He spent his life serving the Lord. And you may say, well, I guess I've really messed up then because I haven't spent my whole life serving the Lord. Well, you know what? The servant who for 1 hour served the master was rewarded the same as the others. And you know what? It's the devil that wants you to think it's too late to be saved. It's the devil that wants you to think it's too late to start serving Christ. It's not too late. As long as you have breath, there's time to start serving the Lord. So the wise men were wiser than Herod. They were wiser than the people who knew the scriptures. In my lifetime, sad to say, I've seen people go astray that have a ton of scripture memorized. How can that be? Well, think about these priests and scribes. They instantly knew where the Messiah was going to be born. But you know what? Those men were no better off than Herod. You know why? They didn't follow the wise men. It was just the wise men that arrived there. And it was the chief priests and scribes who were Jesus' biggest enemy in his ministry. They didn't act upon the scriptures. And if you look with me in Micah 5:2, do you know where they failed? Well, they probably failed in many areas, like all of us fail in many areas. But in Micah 5:2, they didn't quote part of this verse. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." They stopped right there. But what's the rest of the verse? "Whose goings forth have been from of old," from what? Everlasting. Only God has been from of everlasting. And that is the point that the Jewish leaders stumbled over. They did not accept that Jesus is God. And when he claimed to be God, that's when they got the stones out to stone him. That was the point. They stumbled. Look back with me in Isaiah 9 in verse 6. Isaiah 9:6 once again. You know what? They were not listening to this verse either. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor," and then what? "The Mighty God," and then what? "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Messiah would be God in the flesh. These two passages very clear, and there's more than that in the Old Testament, but Jesus is God. Let me ask you something. Do you realize that Jesus is God, that he is your creator? You know, God is not like some Hitler trying to take over this universe. God is the one who created it. It's his, Psalm 24:1. He created it. He's the owner. He's not trying to take over that which is someone else's. He is trying to rule and reign over that which is his. And that's why he has every right to do that. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here was another religious person, and maybe you're a religious person here tonight, but being honest with yourself, maybe you'd say, I really don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Nicodemus was a religious man. We just had a man write in four tracts, and he said, "When I was a child, I made a profession of faith," but he said, "I was at work one day, and there was a couple of my workers that were swearing." And so he said, "I told the guys to cut it out." And they looked at me and said, "Well, who are you? Are you religious?" And it just smote his heart. And he realized he wasn't saved at 27 years of age. He realized, you know what? I'm not saved. Here's a religious man, John 3:1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus saith to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Have you been born again? You know, Nicodemus should have known this. In verse 9, he says, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Nicodemus was a leader, a ruler of the Jews, a teacher. How many times had he taught through Genesis? And God had told Adam, if you eat of this tree, and the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die, in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. They ate of it. Well, was there a contradiction in Scripture because they didn't die physically? No, there's no contradiction. They died spiritually that day. And that's why we must be born again. So how can you be born again? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 10. If you have that question in your heart tonight. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe where? In thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have we ever said anything with our mouths that we do not really mean, that we should not really have said? Yes, we all have. So it's not just with the mouth, it's from the heart. Shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. Why would a person be ashamed of the one who's died for them and saved them? Yesterday we were out witnessing and we came to a house and on the front door it had United States Marines. And so no one answered the door and kind of going to the side, and a man come up to the fence and called out to us. And I said, are you the Marine? And he said, yes, sir. And he says, how did you know? And I told him about the symbol on the door. And he had forgotten about the symbol on the door. I wonder, is there any place in our lives that people know who we are? That we're a Christian? Is there anything they can see in our lives? We shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight, how wise are we? Chief priests, scribes, oh, they knew tons of Scripture. But those people died lost. Those people didn't seek after God. Really, how much are we seeking after God? Tonight, we're going to sing a song in just a moment here. If you have some questions tonight, maybe you're not sure you're saved. If that's the case with you, be like the wise people. You may have come here tonight without the knowledge that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. But you can be like the wise men tonight. You can seek the Lord, and we can show you where to find him. Maybe there's just something else upon your heart tonight you'd like to pray about. We invite you to come in. If I could have the musicians prepare, let's take our hymn books and turn to 166. You know, the wise men were seeking after the Lord. I mean, they were humble enough to admit they didn't know how to find the Messiah. Are you humble enough to admit that tonight? To say, you know what? I do not know how to find Jesus. Or I do not know how to find God's will for my life. But do you have a seeking heart tonight? Let's stand as we sing together. 166.
Where
many of you would just love to see a real revival and awakening hit America? You know? Oh, we need that, don't we? We need it. The politics isn't going to do it. It's only Christ. Only He can make that change. And maybe we need to allow Him to make some changes in our lives. Let's sing that verse 4.
Glory to us, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, Thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord,
thank you so much for coming tonight. I appreciate you encouraging the young people and some of us not so young, but coming tonight, and I appreciate all of the hours and diligence they put in, and what a blessing to our hearts that was, and thank you so much for that. We're going to have a time of fellowship. You're welcome to stay to take part in that if you'd like to, and I think right now, Brother Johnson, if you could close us in prayer and maybe thank the Lord for the food as well. And then it's going to take the ladies a few minutes, but we'll let you know when you can start through. Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, Father. Thank you that this country of ours still allows us to meet. We thank you for the freedom that we have right now, Father.
Amen.
Father, we just think of this service here tonight and the message that went forth. We just thank you for leaving your glory in heaven, coming down here to be born in a lowly stable, placed in a manger, all because you've seen people like this, Father. We are just sinful people, and you have provided a way. Thank you for taking our sins upon yourself, paying that sin debt, Father, so we could avoid an eternity being punished for our sins. We thank you so much for that. Father, we thank you for all these people that had a part in this service here. We just thank you for the gifts that you gave them to be able to do what they did here tonight with their instruments and their voices. Just worshiping you, Father. We thank you for the visitors that are here tonight. Again, Father, if there is just one person here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray tonight will be the night of their salvation, Father. The day they accept Christ as their Savior. Father, help us to spread the light in the days ahead and the weeks ahead, Father, that people would want to know you through our lives, how we live our lives, Father. May we just be humble servants of yours in the days ahead. Father, as we gather around the food here tonight, we thank you for it. We ask that you bless it, Father. May it strengthen our bodies so enable us to accomplish the will you have for each one of our lives, Father. Just ask for your blessings.
Amen. We'll let you know as soon as it's ready. Thank you. Lord bless you.